Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. We're listening to it's October 14th. Listening here on blogtalkradio.com. We have a few things lined up for tonight. We've got NHRA Top Fuel Points leader Sean Langdon, who will be joining us shortly, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who I was able to get some time with Saturday morning, and we're talking about his rookie year a little bit in his painting the track pink for the month of October. He'll be have the pink car at Martinsville due to the fact that it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we'll talk to him about that and see what he has to say. Of course, NHRA is off this week. Won't be back in action until the 24th. So they got a couple of weeks with two races to go. And, of course, the Sprint Cup Series and the chase continues out in Talladega this coming weekend. Of course, this past weekend they were at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Bank of America 500 Saturday night, the only night race in the series. So if you want to talk about, we also have time for your calls later on. We'll have some audio from the weekend as well. But we should be hearing from Sean in a little bit. It seemed to be a Jimmy Johnson type race this past weekend, and again, a late yellow came out and sent everybody to the pits for the last time. And you know, if you have any questions on these cautions, that you're wondering where the debris comes from or how they call them, if they wanted to change the race up, because it looked like Jimmy Johnson was going to run away with Max Points Day and had a chance to unseating Matt Kenseth as the points leader. But right now, let's bring to the show my very special guest, driver for the Alanabi Silver Top Fuel Dragster, and the current points leader, Sean Langdon. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, not too bad. Seems like you've had a pretty good season so far. You have 6 wins already out of 10 races, and it's running down to the last 2, heading into Las Vegas. So it seems like right now you're in the catbird seat.
Yeah, we, this Alanabi team's been having a great year, and just coming down to the last 2 races and, just to have a little bit of lead in the points. But, you know, we've seen it time and time again just with the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. I mean, you can't count your chickens before they're hatched because, other teams, they're fighting and they're working really hard to try to get that championship as well. So we just got to keep doing our job and keep doing what we know. And, it's always a good time to go to Vegas. A little bit of gambling on the line.
That's for sure. I mean, you guys left, your last event was out at Maple Grove Raceway, and it seemed like the temperatures were cool, were so cool over there that you guys were making a lot of horsepower and setting some records.
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite as good as the year before. The year before, we had just absolute mineshaft conditions. This year is a little bit warmer, a little bit of humidity in the air, so it kind of kept the temperature up and kept a little bit of heat in the track, which Maple Grove Raceway is one of the better tracks that we go to. The surface is absolutely phenomenal, and we're able to still run 377, in the final round and on a 104 degree track temp, which is, it's just a testament to the NHRA Safety Safari and Maple Grove Raceway, just how well that track was prepared. Usually you can run probably a 79 or 80 normally is where you're at, but we were able to push a little bit more just having that little bit of trust and confidence in the track.
Now, you go out to Vegas, out there in the desert, temperatures are going to be a little different. So what do you see that the speed's going to be set, and what kind of work does that put on your crew chief to get it tuned for that track as opposed to out in Reading on the here in the East Coast?
Well, obviously Vegas is a little bit different, just because of the higher elevation. So obviously you're going to have to change the tune up a little bit, which, you know, that's something that we deal with every race we go to, is just the changing conditions and the different altitude and barometric pressure and humidity and everything. So the guys will just basically go to their tune-up calculator and put all the information in and kind of work with it a little bit. And as long as the engine's happy, they'll just kind of keep along the lines of what we know. If it kind of seems a little lean or a little bit rich, then they'll kind of tune it accordingly. But we basically have notes from the last couple of years, and the guys have a great handle on the car. So, you know, we can go out to Vegas, and hopefully we can, right out of the box, make a great run. And the key to qualifying well is to be able to make a good run out of the box, and then on your first qualifying run, and then the second session, be towards the back of the pack, because you're going to get the cooler track conditions on Friday night. So that's fortunately we've been able to do that the last couple races and qualify well and put us in a good position for Sunday.
That's good. I also see where this year you actually took the Traxxas Nitro Shootout in Indianapolis. How much fun is that when you're just racing for money and don't have to worry about the trophy on the line on just a special event like that?
Well, it's you really treat it just like every other race. You know, obviously we're out here because we love what we do and we have the passion for the sport, and obviously the money as a bonus is just that much sweeter. So, you know, you don't really change anything. I mean, obviously there's still a lot on the line, with the exception of the Wally or the championship points. But it's a great event. We have so much fun doing it. Obviously the eight best drivers in the class are fighting it out for $100,000. And I remember growing up as a kid going to Pomona and watching all the greats race in the Big Bud Shootout. And I always enjoyed it. And I always thought it was just a really cool race because you're watching the best guys race against each other. So it's a neat event. This is my first year that I was able to be a part of it. And it's just a special feeling. And, you know, obviously the Mike Jenkins and everybody from Traxxas, you know, we really appreciate what they do in our sport, and to give us the opportunity to be able to race for $100,000. It's not every day that you're able to race for $100,000. That's a lot of money, and we're, you know, obviously we just have a great time doing it, and it's a fun time, but there is that little bit of competition, a little bit of pressure in there where, you know, obviously you want to do well.
Now, this is you know, last year in the Mellow Yellow NHRA playoffs in the countdown to the championship, you wound up fourth in the points. Was there anything that you've done different this year to make the car better? Obviously, you're running a lot better, so I was just wondering if it's just things that the team has worked on to get you to this point in the season, to where two events to go and you have a chance to lock it up.
Yeah, last year was really it was a learning year for a lot of reasons. Obviously, for me, it was my first year with the team. So, you know, it took a little bit of while for me to get comfortable in the car and to be able to work with everybody and just to be able to build that team chemistry and you know, just where you really kind of understand where each other's coming from and so, yeah, obviously it takes a little bit of race or a little bit of time and a few races to kind of get in the swing of things. And you know, Alan was working a lot with a lot of different parts. He kind of saw where the tune-up was, it was good, and it had won a championship the year before with Dell, and Larry had won a championship, you know, with the same tune-up. But it was getting to the point where a lot of the other teams had really caught up and were able to, in certain situations, maybe run a little bit better. So it was kind of a step back year for the whole Allen Abbey team, where we were really focused in changing our direction with the tune-up. And it just took a little bit of time to get used to everything, because right when you feel like you got a grasp on it, you go to you know, a different scenario where you go to a different track and it's really humid now, or the air's really good, or the track's really hot, or the track's really cold. So it just takes a little bit of time to, you know, figure out your tune-up, to be accustomed to all the different settings, and then also just with a different driver. And so we really kind of looked at last year as a testing year for the future. And, you know, I think that this year, Alan and Brian Houston and Jason McCulloch, they've really done an excellent job with taking that tune-up and really showing, you know, the direction that they were wanting to go with this team. And like Alan kept telling us last year, just bear with us. I know we're not getting the wins, but they'll come. And we'll be strong when we get this figured out. And, you know, obviously this year they've got it figured out and then some. We've been able to make some very strong runs and some very key times. And, you know, we're hoping to be able to close this deal out in Vegas.
Does it make it any easier on you that the team has it figured out, or is it still a mental game when you pull up to the tree and have to go round by round still facing whoever, you know, winds up pulling up next to you on the ladder?
Yeah, you really, you know, obviously having a great car beneath you gives you a lot of confidence as a driver. But I don't really think that my confidence has changed from last year, just because of how much I really do believe in the team, and I really do trust Alan and Brian with how they set up and they prepare the car. So it doesn't really change anything that I do as a driver. Every time I go to the starting line, I'm giving 110%, trying to cut the best possible light, trying to make sure I do all everything that I can do. I'm trying to do everything perfect. So that way I can give them the best possible feedback and the best possible chance to have a winning car. So it's just, you know, obviously it does build a little bit of confidence when you have a car that's able to go down the track. It kind of gives you one less thing that you have to worry about, you know, just not having to pedal the car or worried about what the car is going to do, if it's going to smoke or make it down. We've been able to make some really strong runs to go down the track. So it gives you a little bit more confidence as a driver. But, you know, when you have a great team behind you, you have confidence in them no matter what, that you're going to have a great car. And I knew at times last year that it was, we had some rough spots, but I knew that as a team we were going to pull out of it at some point.
Now, your two closest competitors are Doug Kalita, who's 83 points back, and Spencer Massey, who's 86 back. To hold them at bay, I guess it all comes down to the four rounds of qualifying and to see how many bonus points you can get to, I guess, put more points on the board to increase that lead going into eliminations. Am I right?
Yeah, really, with the way our point system is set up, you get 20 points a round. So staying above that 80 points is very critical for us, just because of the fact of, you know, if something were to happen and they were to go four rounds further than us, then they would pass us. So if we can keep above that 80-point mark, then it really puts the pressure on them to have to go a lot of rounds. And you know, it's we still have a lot of pressure on us because we still have to perform. We still have to you know, make great runs and do a good job on Sunday. But just that keeping above the 80-point mark is going to be very key, because you've seen the last couple years it comes down to Pomona and the last couple rounds. And, you know, if you can, at that point in the final round of Pomona, if you have those extra 2, 3, 4 bonus points, you know, obviously that can make a big difference.
Now, the things that you work on, I guess, that you can help out when you get pulled at a tree, is that you try to gauge and gain the light to see if you can get a better reaction time and try to get that jump. Or, I mean, that's something, I guess, you know, when you both hit the stage and it's a matter of when the light goes to green, how hard is it to figure out when, you know, when to actually jump on the throttle to take off?
Well, it's in our class, the way that the cars react, it sounds kind of weird, but with 8,000 horsepower, but it's really hard to red light. If you red light in our class, you basically, obviously you left too early, but you really hit the gas before the yellow bulbs came on. And that's really, as a driver, you're in there and you're trying to shallow stage as much as possible to be able to get the best ET. And then you're trying to hit the tree as hard as you can. As soon as you see any yellow, you're hitting the gas. So really, every time you go up there, that's just why it's very important as a driver to do the same thing every single time, so that way the crew chiefs know what to expect. If you're in a deep stage in one time, shallow stage in the next, and then you're driving all over the place one time, and it really makes a lot harder on the crew chiefs. So that's something that I really try to do, is make sure that I'm shallow staged every single time, try to cut the best light possible. Sometimes it's pretty difficult. You got a lot of pressure on the line, and you kind of go up there with the mentality of that you don't want to mess up, and I think those are the times when you do mess up. So you really try to stay pretty aggressive as a driver to make sure that you cut a great light. And, you know, just obviously if you can cut a great light, you just give that much more of an advantage to your team to where, you know, they're not so dependent on making stellar runs every single time. You kind of make it to where you have an extra 100 or 2 to play with on the starting line, then you're just able to just to make sure the car goes down the track. And sometimes it can make it a little easier for you, but not all the time.
That's another thing, going into Vegas, how important is lane choice at that particular track? And is that something you won't know until you see what you run on, I guess, on qualifying to see which lane gives you the better ET?
Yeah, a lot of times that'll really just kind of depend on basically when you get there. Obviously, we run at Vegas twice a year, and then they have their weekly events every single weekend. So you don't really know what kind of condition the track's in. Obviously, the NHRA Safety Safari goes there, and they do their own track prep before we show up. So, you know, we really have a lot of trust in them that they set up the track as best as possible. Sometimes you'll run into a situation of one lane will be better than the other, but it's mainly just when you get there, and we make 4 qualifying runs, 2 on Friday and then 2 on Saturday, and you alternate lanes every single time. So it's just for per your setup for that weekend. If, you know, if you make 2 great runs in the right lane and you didn't make it down in the left, well, obviously you're going to choose that right lane. You know, we saw that in Reading. A lot of the teams decided for lane choice first round that they would prefer the right lane. We ended up choosing the left lane just because we were able to make better runs in qualifying in the left lane with our car and our setup. So sometimes certain tracks, they'll have better lanes, but Vegas is a good track, and I think they're fairly close, but, you know, obviously we'll make that decision when we get out there.
That's what I was wondering. I know, because, you know, everybody just, you know, watching this, well, someone, you know, you had lane choice, you picked the right lane or you picked the left lane. I wasn't sure whether it was the conditions that day or, well, being you said you run each twice in qualifying to see which one you get the better feel for, it kind of makes more sense that way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, like I said, it's just, that's why the crew chiefs get the big bucks, because they're out there and they're watching every move on that track. They know everything that's going on. They're trying to predict the track temperature, and they're watching the weather, and they're, you know, it's a constant battle just to make sure, you know, that there's enough grip out there, and obviously you'll tune accordingly.
It's one of the worst things that can happen is if you're following somebody that blew up going down the track and laid down a bunch of oil, because you never know. I know they do an excellent job of cleaning it up, but there's always that factor there that they might not get all of it. And how does that run through your mind?
Yeah, it does. And obviously there's certain situations where, you know, we'll go out there, or, well, the crew chief, and they'll go out there and check on the track. And if they feel that it was a good job, and sometimes it can actually play into your favor, because they'll be cleaning up the oil and they'll reprep that lane, and it'll actually make it better. So sometimes it actually plays into your favor if someone goes out there. And a lot of it just really just depends on the surface, and, you know, if they've scraped the track the day before, or if they, what they've done with it and how they're spraying the VHT, and obviously the track temperature plays a big factor in it. So that's, a lot of it's just kind of the seat of the pants feel at the time, and kind of that gut feeling that you get.
I know the first 4 races, you had them 4 straight weeks in a row. Now you have a couple of weeks off before going to Vegas. Huh? Do you wish it was continuous, or are you happy to have those couple of weeks off?
Well, it's nice to be able to get a couple weeks off just to kind of regroup. When you go on the road for 4 weeks in a row, it can be pretty tough. You're on the road, and you try to make sure that you have enough parts and equipment and everything that's going to last you. And sometimes if you have a couple bad weekends and you blow some stuff up, you run a little bit low on parts. But, you know, fortunately for us, we had a good 4 weeks, and we didn't do too much damage. So it's nice for the guys to be able to come back and kind of get a little bit of a refresher. And sometimes when you kind of get in that zone, you're on the road every single week. It's easy to kind of get sidetracked and lose focus of where you're at. So it's nice to be able to come home, regroup, get everything kind of reset and be able to relax for a couple weeks and kind of hit that reset mode on your body and then go to Pomona Vegas and Pomona and hopefully finish the deal off.
Well, that's good to hear. 2 weeks to go, and we wish you the best of luck. Hopefully, we hope to pull home the big Wally as well as two little ones for winning the top fuel event in the last two events. I'd like to thank you for joining us here, and hope the next time we talk to you, you'll be top fuel champion.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope so, too.
All right, take care now.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. There you have it, NHRA Top Fuel Points leader Sean Langdon joining us here on Garage Talk Live. Last time he was on, he was in the midst of a two-race win streak. And now, after 6 wins this year out of 10 races, we've got a couple more to go. Wrapping up the countdown to the championship. He's got an 83-point lead over Doug Coletta and an 86-point lead over Spencer Massey, two tough guys that are going to be pretty tough to beat. So he's got to stay on his game, and pretty much he should get this. And it's always great to have somebody on the show that wins a championship, like we did a few years ago when Rob Height was on, the year he won his championship, and then the year after that, John Force joined us quite a few times, and he won his 15th Drivers' Championship and 16th Owners' Championship. This year, he's going for it again. He's got the points lead in the funny car division, and two races to go. I'd like to see Big John get his 16th Drivers' Championship and, you know, 17th overall, and, of course, with young daughters Brittany and Courtney coming up, Brittany learning the top fuel ropes in her rookie season this year, and Courtney won the Rookie of the Year last year, and she made the countdown, so she's got a little while to go before she can get her championship in, and it's good to see all our guests do well. Now, this week, NASCAR Under the Lights in Charlotte, hometown race for everybody. Teams and families got to spend some time there and at home. And it was just weird not having a race to watch on Sunday this past week. But that's the only race in the chase that's under the lights. Of course, Talladega this weekend. And the week after that, we go to Martinsville. And then out west for a couple races, Texas and Phoenix. And then back at Homestead for Ford weekend when the Truck Series, the Nationwide Series, and the Cup Series finish out the season. So it's getting pretty interesting right now. So the points lead is close. And we're going to have to see who's going to edge this one out. Jimmy Johnson is going for number 6. Matt Kenseth is going for his checking chance. Tongue-tied there. Second championship. And there's a couple other players that are not too far behind. that being Kevin Harvick and Jeff Gordon. So they're kind of close. So I don't know if they can get it. I mean, we still got five to go. So it's not over till it's over. Might come down to Homestead. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. Right now, we were able to catch some time with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. this past Saturday, and was glad to get a hold of him. So let's here's my interview with Ricky and talking about the Paint the Track Pink Breast Cancer Month found, and raising money for that. There's Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
I'd like to welcome to Garage Talk Live, driver of the number 7 Ford Fusion for Roush Fenway Racing, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And Ricky, it's been, I guess, a pretty sort of kind of good year. You're in the lead for Rookie of the Year. And going into the night race at Charlotte, how do you like running at that track for this weekend?
It's a great racetrack. You know, it's cool to be here at home with, you know, all the, you know, crew guys that work on your car that don't get to always come out to the races on the weekends, but, you know, when we're traveling and the guys in the shop get to come out and, you know, bring their families. And so that's a lot of fun. You know, it's a fast racetrack. I like racing under the lights. So, you know, all in all, it's a fun weekend and, you know, it's not too bad. Most nights you get to sleep in your own bed at home. So, that plays a good part in it too.
Well, I guess one of the main things that we're having you on here is your car is going to be turning pink at Martinsville for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I guess it's in honor of raising money for that. Then you have a new set of diecasts, of course, put out by Lionel Racing, and it's a pretty good promotion for a worthy cause. How do you feel about painting the 17 car pink? I know it's usually a light blue for Zest once in a while, but how are we going to look?
Yeah, no, it's going to be really neat. You know, I've always been, you know, every time we get to October and, you know, NASCAR and, you know, really any of the, you know, major league sporting events, you know, We try to raise as much, you know, awareness for breast cancer that we can. And, you know, for the National Breast Cancer Foundation, you know, we're painting our number 17 Ford Fusion pink at Martinsville. It'll be Roush Fenway's Driven for a Cause. And they're making, Lionel's making diecasts of all the cars that are pink this year, which is really neat. And so you can go get those at LionelRacing.com and also the NASCAR.com superstore as well. So it's just an honor to be a part of it. And, you know, I think throughout the month of October so far, I think we've raised a lot of awareness for it in the NASCAR community. And, you know, we'll continue to do that throughout the month of October here. And, you know, that's just an honor to be a part of it.
That's pretty good. I mean, I know right now several of the other teams are throwing some pink on their cars. Your car is going to be, I guess, all pink in Martinsville. And it's a pretty good cast of people that are in support. It's, I guess, yourself, Danica, on region for the Spring Cup side, and Dale Jr. as well, and Biffold, your teammate. Drag racing's got the Force Girls. And, of course, in the Nationwide Series, it's Regan Smith and Brad Sweet. So I guess all the big series are pretty much they're covered in trying to raise awareness. Do you ever meet with any of the drivers, any of like, the NHRA? Or I know you're always with the NASCAR people every week, but they have get you all together?
Yeah, I haven't seen, you know, many of the drag racing, you know, cars, but, you know, I think it, you know, it sets a statement when you see pink cars going around the racetrack. And here in Charlotte, they do a great job. They paint pit road wall pink all the way down pit road, and then also the start finish line is painted in pink, and the victory lane is all pink. So I feel like NASCAR does a great job at helping promote this month of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And it's cool to see it in all levels of NASCAR and obviously the NHRA. And it's cool. You see it in the football and in basketball. You see it in all sports. And I think that's just how important it is for us to raise awareness for it and try to raise money for it and try to find a cure at some point. So it's really neat to for Roush Fenway and NASCAR to be a part of it. And it's also huge that Lionel Racing is also, committed to making these diecasts. And, it's an honor for my team and myself to be, in that pink organization. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it at Martinsville, and hopefully we can get it a good finish.
Well, that's pretty good to see. I know Martinsville, one of the tougher tracks, being it so tight and only half a mile. This year, in your rookie year in the Sprint Cup Series, coming off of two straight nationwide championships, how do you feel the season was going for you? I know you probably wish it could be a lot better, but as far as learning curve, I guess, being the key here, coming into Charlotte tonight and then the next couple of weeks to finish out the season, do you think that the learning curve has helped and you should have some better runs and maybe get some better finishes?
So far, we haven't ran as well as we wanted, but we've had some decent runs. We've been qualifying better. Our practices have been better. We just haven't been able to keep that speed in our race cars throughout the whole race. So that's something we've been working on with me and my crew chiefs, Jack Graves, and our engineers, and just really working on, getting consistent throughout the whole race. I think coming into Charlotte, we've got some good momentum. We've had some decent runs here as of late, and I like most of the racetracks that we have left. Martinsville's a tough one for me. I've only been there once, so I would say that's probably going to be the toughest one we have left for myself and our number 17 team. But the series is challenging. There's a lot of good race car drivers and a lot of good teams, and and a lot of them have just a ton of experience. So it's just one of those things that you got to get the experience. You got to be out there to get the experience, and we're out there doing it every week, and I think we can have some good runs coming into this off season, and try to carry some momentum into next year.
Because I know this from watching you guys the whole time. It's just like you're one of the few guys that didn't have a lot of hardly any cup experience when you made the move. So, I mean, it's one thing for those guys to go back down and drive in the nationwide and, racing against them there and then having to race against them with the new cars. And, of course, the Gen 6 car is new for this year, and that's something everybody had to learn. How do you like the Gen 6?
It's been fun. I think the main thing is the fans can, look at it and correlate that to the, for our Ford Fusion, they look identical to the street car. And that's been a big positive impact for our sport, I feel like, over this year. And they drive fine. It's just, it's tough to get that perfect setup on them that we're all looking for every week. And, when somebody does get it, it shows out quite well. So it's been fun, and I can race for these guys when we ran in the Nationwide Series full time the last couple of years. We could compete with them, we could win, we could beat them, and it's just a whole different car when you move up with more horsepower that they've been driving for a long time. So we've learned every week this year, and hopefully we can keep learning and follow up all our notes that we learned throughout the year, and come up with a good game plan in the off season to hit the ground running next year.
Well, that's, I guess you guys had it all figured out. And so I guess tonight under the lights at in Charlotte for 500 miles, then 500 miles of fun and excitement at Talladega, and you'll be back. You'll be in the pink at Martinsville for paint the track pink. And so I'd like to thank you for coming all with me, take some time out of your busy day, and good luck tonight in the race. We'll be watching, and I hope you'll join us again soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having us on, and we're going to try to get my best Ford Fusion a good finish tonight, and, you know, see if we can't, you know, carry some momentum for the rest of the year.
That sounds good. Then we'd like to see you take home that Rookie of the Year trophy and stick that on your mantle next year to Nationwide Series championships.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right, take care now.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. They have Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Now, if you want to go out and support the National Breast Cancer Foundation, you can go to LionelRacing.com or the NASCAR.com Superstore to order your diecast and pick up all of them. You have Greg Biffle, Dale Jr. Of course, those cars will be pink at Martinsville along with Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s. And then, of course, last week in Maple Grove, Brittany Force and Courtney Force's dragsters were pink. Courtney's funny car and Brittany's top fueler, Danica Patrick, she's running GoDaddy Pink for the whole month of October, and that started a couple weeks ago at Kansas. Same with, and Reagan Smith's car was pink at Kansas, and so was Brad Sweet. So paint the track pink, diecast cars. It's pre-order through LionelRacing.com. Or the NASCAR.com Superstore. It's helping a worthy cause. And all proceeds, I guess, it goes for the National Breast Cancer Foundation. So I'd like to thank Ricky for taking time out of race day to join me on the phone. And fortunately for him, and we wish him good luck in Rookie of the Year. Of course, he was 14 points ahead of Danica Patrick for Rookie of the Year. So he's kind of racing against, I guess, against his girlfriend there. But, you know, and the other candidate for Rookie of the Year is Timmy Hill, who actually won the Nationwide Rookie of the Year a couple years back. So, but it looks like with three rookies this year, for the most part, it's Ricky Stenhouse so far. And, of course, he finished 13th at Charlotte on the lead lap, and there was only, he was the last car on the lead lap, so that tells you what kind of pace that they were setting with Jimmy Johnson and Casey Kane leading both of those guys. Kane had led for 138 laps, Johnson 130 laps, and when it came down to that last yellow and final pit stops, came out to a big battle between Kane and Keselowski racing each other towards the end, and Matt Kenseth somehow managed to make it ahead of Jimmy to increase his points lead by one. We'll get more into the points lead in a little bit, but it was Brad Keselowski's first win of the season. I mean, after coming off the Sprint Cup Championship last year, he had bought what they call the championship jinx, I guess. The only one who hasn't had that was Jimmy Johnson when he won five straight in a row, but it happened to Tony Stewart the year he won the championship. Of course, he had an amazing chase win in five races to wind up tied with Carl Edwards in points. And being the fact that Smoke had more wins, he was able to take home the title. But both him and Edwards had a rough year the year after, which was last year. And
It looked like Jimmy Johnson. Was always in the hunt for another one until Brad Keselowski came along, and he had a spectacular chase, and it did come down to the last race at Homestead, where Johnson had some problems, and Brad was able to run on to take the that big silver trophy and the $5.5 million prize. So that's what's making this interesting, that it's that close a race. Casey Kane, a good day for him, but came up a little short. He wound up second. Kenseth driving the Dollar General car. His car was pink, too, but Dollar General runs their own Breast Cancer Awareness Month program as well. So he was in pink. Jimmy Johnson had the white car with the blue lettering and stripes. Under the lights, he came in fourth. Kyle Busch was fifth. He had a pretty decent run coming off that disaster at Kansas. He needed that. Kevin Harvick finished sixth. Seventh was Jeff Gordon. Eighth, Ryan Newman. Ninth was Denny Hamlin. And tenth was Carl Edwards, and let's see if we can get some post-race audio. Here's what Brad Keselowski had to say about his win this year. Of course, later on we'll be making our
to win under the circumstances we did. Obviously, a little adversity in the middle of the race, and then a great battle with two stallions here, Casey Kane and Matt Kenseth. So to put all that together at the end and come out on top is something we're going to be proud of and cherish for a long, long time.
Now, of course, Keselowski had to overcome some of the adversity he was talking about is when he had the jack stuck under the car, and of course he had to get penalized for that, but here is what he had to say about winning at Charlotte.
Winning in Charlotte is important for a lot of reasons, but the most important one is you look at your team and the people that travel on the road. You know, this is a bit of a traveling circus, 38 weeks a year, and there's a lot of sacrifices that are made for those people to travel so much. That's not even counting the testing and other demands that there might be. So those guys spend a lot of time away from their friends and family and make sacrifices to essentially make me a hero. And that's not something that's lost on me. So when they have the opportunity to come to Charlotte and bring their family and friends and kind of showcase what they do, and then you combine that with success, I think it really validates to them some of those sacrifices they made.
And about how the season coming together tonight.
This is a very good team. You know, some circumstances, like Paul said, under our control, didn't go our way, and we didn't execute it, and some not under our control. But along the way, all season long, we've had the speed. We've had what we need to be a championship team. We just haven't put them all together. All the pieces haven't come together on the nights that count. And they, you know, for the most part, did tonight. I feel like Paul said, we've had the speed in our cars. You know, there's been weeks where we've had the execution, not as many as we want, but we haven't always had those pieces together. And then there's been weeks where we've had the speed and the execution. We've just had some rotten luck.
That's true. He did have a lot of rotten luck where he was dodging incidents last year. He seemed to be finding them a lot this year. And of course, Roger Penske had a few words to say. I mean, Brad was the only one of the team that hasn't won in the Sprint Cup Series, but even though every Penske driver has won a race this year except for him there, I know Brad's won it in the 22 nationwide car, but at least Logano has had a win this year in the Cup Series. And
at the end of the day, we hadn't been in a victory circle. And I think for Brad, obviously he was concerned. We all were. But at the end of the day, we knew that he was the guy who gave us the championship last year. And I think, Brad, you don't realize that every driver in our stable now has won a race this year. So A.J., Blaney, Sam, Joey, and the two guys on the IndyCar side. So I'd say this is a pretty good night for us.
That is a pretty good night, considering that's right, the two is IndyCar drivers as well. Of course, Elio Castroneves looking to win a championship for another championship for Roger Penske in the Indy Series. They have a few races to go to finish that season. And, of course, Casey Kane talking about racing Brad there to the end and how it went.
Tonight was a good battle. It was, he had four tires, and I had two, and I did all I could, and he just got by me and cleared me. So I was, I don't know, I was always racing pretty good, and we raced hard on it.
There was a little spot where they rubbed a little bit, but they didn't wreck each other, and it's just a testament to how well those guys run there. Of course, Casey Kane, about how he runs at Charlotte, is what he had to say.
Just always have ran pretty good at this track. I wish I knew how to get my car, you know, and to drive like it does here at other places. I don't know if it's the tire or the track itself, what it is, but we just always run pretty good here. And it's a confidence, kind of always gives us confidence when we leave here. So it's nice. Hopefully we can run to Texas to test, and hopefully we can run pretty strong the rest of the year. And I don't want to finish last at points, so see what happens.
And that's one thing about this year with the Gen 6 car, NASCAR has allowed them to test. And, of course, Matt Kenseth with his third place finish, this is what he had to say.
You want to be the points leader after the second half is the most important, but yeah, certainly you know, glad we're still leading. Tonight was a big positive for us. It was a little bit of a struggle this weekend, more than we anticipated. I didn't get a good lap qualifying, and that was really the start of us being behind tonight. And about our second or third adjustment, Jason and that group really hit it and really found something that I liked.
Of course, it took a while for him to even make an attempt at that, watching the race. It's like, is he going to do it? I mean, Jimmy's running away, and Kenseth was further back in the top 10, but this is what Matt had to say about his finish.
It's hard to run up front every week. It's hard to win races. It's hard to do all that, and I felt like tonight 48 probably had us beat. I'm not sure about the five overall, but I didn't race with them that much and hear lap times, and we were kind of coming from the back. But I thought we had, in between a second and a fourth or fifth place car at worst, and, we finished there or a little better, so I'd call that a successful night. I mean, you want to, you know, like I said, they put me in a chance to win there at the end, and being greedy, of course you want to win, and you go out and do everything you can do, and I couldn't get that done, but yet for where we started and you know, how we were the first two runs of the race. I thought my whole team did an incredible job.
And there you have Matt Kenseth, still the points leader after the race at Charlotte. Five down, five to go. In the chase, it's the end of the first half. So you have five more races to go with the points as they stand right now. Kenseth with the 4 points over Jimmy Johnson. Harvick, five back of there, so it's not over yet. I mean, actually, 35 back is Harvick. He's got a little bit more ground to make up, and Talladega, one of those places where he might just be able to do it. And Jeff Gordon not too far behind Harvick. And you can't really count any of the Hendrick cars at Talladega. It seems the Chevys run well there, and it's going to be hard to beat. So we'll have to see what happens. I think we're going to I'm going to clip it off here at the, well, even Kyle Busch in fifth place is a point behind Gordon. If I had my trusty calculator, I'd have it listed as the points behind. And but anyway, it's either here or there. It's coming. It's going to come down to the last race. They're the five that are the closest to the top spot. And they're the ones that are going to be battling it out for the trophy. Just that Kenseth needs a stinker. Johnson can take over. He seems like the logical choice. And then you have third, fourth, and fifth in the points within 8 points of each other there. So it's going to come down to who's going to have the better second half of the chase. In the Rookie of the Year point standings now, it's Ricky Stenhouse Jr. with 205. He's 104 points ahead of Danica Patrick, and she's way ahead of Timmy Hill by around 30. So it's going to be – there's the battle right there for Rookie of the Year. Of course, now that Ricky's been on the show, hopefully he could clinch that one. Danica finished 20th. Ricky was 13th. So I was looking at the way the points were laid out, and it's pretty interesting that the – how they schedule the points, it's based on a countdown from 10. So you really, for the finishing, how the finishing order is between them. So he got 10 points for finishing the highest, and she got 9 for second highest, and that's how that goes. And then there's other factors that come into the Rookie of the Year standing. So, of course, the race took 3 hours, 9 minutes, and 53 seconds. The average speed was 158.3 miles an hour, and the margin of victory, 1.02 seconds. Keselowski did stretch it out a little bit when he got around Casey Kane. Of course, he had to fight his way around it a little bit, but once he got cleared, it was just a matter of staying ahead of him. The Nationwide Series turned out to be a battle of, car owner championship people. Right now, it's Kyle Busch, who started on the pole, taking the checkered flag, finishing ahead of Austin Dillon. Sam Hornish Jr. came in third. There's a tight battle there between Dillon and Hornish because of the fact that Hornish got 2 bonus points to Austin Dillon's 1. He might have, even though he finished third, finished a point better than Dillon. So I'll have to wait and see. I guess both led a lap and Hornish apparently got credited for leading the most laps. Of course, Nationwide, Dan He was able to, even though he didn't win, he led the most laps in the event and pulled away with that bonus. Sam faded a little bit towards the end there, and, of course, Kyle Busch won, and Austin Dillon was able to get around him for second. But Harvick finished fourth. Kenseth running that race as well, finished fifth. Justin Allgaier was sixth. Joey Logano, seventh. Eighth was Trevor Bayne, ninth was Parker Kligerman, and 10th was Michael Annette. There were 14 lead changes amongst 10 drivers, 5 cautions for 29 laps. The average speed was 133.449 miles an hour, and the margin of victory was half a second, so that was a bit closer. Austin Dillon right now still maintains an 8-point lead over Hornish. So Regan Smith finishing is in third place, 52 back. Justin Allgaier is in fourth, he's 70 back. Eighth is Elliott Sadler, Ninth is Trevor Bayne. I mean, sixth is Trevor Bayne. Seventh is Brian Scott. Brian Vickers is eighth. Ninth is Kyle Larson. And tenth is Parker Kligerman. Brian Vickers taken to the hospital with blood clots. Same thing that kept him out a little while ago, so we'll have to wait and see about Brian Vickers' health and where we go from there. Now we're... And that's always a scary thing, that the thing that put him out before was blood clots, and there, come to find out, he's got him back again. I know he wrecked pretty hard, but I don't know if that caused him or if this is something else altogether or the same causes from before, so we'll just have to wait and see. Talladega, the crapshoot of the bunch next to Martinsville. A short track race, but here anything can happen. So we'll have to see how it looks. Going into the race this weekend. Of course, this race is later than it was last year. Last year, this time, this was race number 30. Now it's race number 32. So they flip-flopped around a couple weeks. Right now, with the different cars, I'm just trying to see who's run where, and believe it or not, I'm seeing some things in the finishing order of the one race that we had in May versus the one that we had in the chase last year. Of course, May, David Reagan got a win, and if you remember correctly, he runs good on the restrictor plate races, because he had a Daytona win pretty much sealed until he changed lanes before the start finish line on a restart, and that win was handed over. You know, he had to move sides and had to redo the restart, and Trevor Bayne went on to win that one, and that's when he drove the 6 UPS car for Roush Fenway. So, that being said, we'll just have to wait and see. Now, as far as my pick goes for this week, I'll tell you, it's kind of iffy. So, who am I looking at? Of course, late last week, Travis Quapel was arrested for domestic violence and spousal abuse. We don't know what's happening there. He did get to drive at Charlotte, but we'll just have to wait and see if he's going to be in the car for Talladega as well. Of course, he's in the 93 car, the Burger King Dr. Pepper Toyota. So who knows if he's going to be in that car again this coming week. We'll just have to wait and see. As for right now, who I'm looking at, I guess I have to go with one of the Hendrick boys, but which one will it be? I don't know. Kenseth won here in the chase race last year, but then he finished 6th, 8th in the race in May, so I'll go with, I guess I have to go with Matt. He seems to be consistent in the past couple of weeks there. So anyway, go to our Facebook page. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live here on blogtalkradio.com. Monday edition. We'll be back next week for a wrap-up of the Talladega weekend. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night here at Garage on Blog Talk Radio /Garage Talk Live, Low Down and Dirty segment. So don't forget to join in. A lot of dirt track action up in Syracuse this weekend. So for one of the biggest events of the year, and I'm pretty sure they'll have a full wrap-up on that. I saw where Scotty Deal had some stuff posted. So you want to check that out right here. 8 o'clock tomorrow night on blogtalkradio.com, Garage Talk Live, Low Down and Dirty Edition. We'll be back next Monday. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Thank you for joining me. Good night and good racing.